After more than two decades of service and a year acting in the role, our next guest is leading the National Park Police as its new chief. With an operating budget of more than $100 million and a workforce that exceeds 700 employees, the Park Service maintains jurisdiction in D.C., New York, and San Francisco. Chief Robert McLean joins me now. Chief McLean, great to have you on.
Yes, thank you for having me.
All right, so give us a little bit of your background, other than the fact, well, we know that you've been there for a long time. What have you done coming up through the ranks?
Well, like you said, I've been on the United States Park Police for over two decades, 23 years to be exact. I was raised from like the seventh grade on here in Northern Virginia, so I was very proud to visit and observe Washington, D.C. and its environs and the police officers that patrol the national parks. So being hired in 1991 was an honor for me, and I'm very proud to have served. This organization is just a really incredible concept of urban policing and protecting visitors to national parks. And the National Mall that is the center and the focus of Washington, D.C., is what the United States Park Police do every day, 24/7, 365. So it's just really a proud and an honor to be the chief of the United States Park Police.
Now, your predecessor, Teresa Chambers, was there a long time, very well-known figure. Is she still casting a shadow over the job, or are you going to emerge into the sun all by yourself?
Well, the legacy of the U.S. Park Police is dated back to 1791, and all the leaders within this organization have a legacy. Chief Chambers, as well as other chiefs that have served as mentors to myself and to those that grow up within the organization to lead it. So reflecting on their leadership has been a very pointed focus of how I intend to lead the United States Park Police to serves not only the employees, but also the communities and the visitors that we serve.
Now, the Park Police, especially in Washington, exist within an area that has many, many jurisdictions, and there must be a dozen different police forces. Some areas you see five or six different police forces within feet of each other in Washington. And so what is some of the challenges of being able to interact with other local police forces when something happens, and how do you know where your guys stop and the next group comes in?
That is one of the biggest challenges, not only in Washington, D.C., but remember that the U.S. Park Police are also serve the national parks in New York City and in San Francisco. So one of the biggest things that we do is collaborate and partner with all of our partners, public and private, within the law enforcement community and the public safety community. So our jurisdiction is very unique in that we have the same jurisdiction as the Metropolitan Police Department in D.C., so that redundancy and overlap, especially when you talk about that urban park interface. So instead of having a bright line on jurisdiction, whether it be a city street as opposed to a park, both agencies, Metropolitan Police Department and U.S. Park Police, have the same authority as the other to take action. So you don't have that quabbling or discussion on who has the authority to do what. And it is a very important part of policing in that we have that great relationship and we work every day with those agencies, whether it be on a search and rescue with our helicopter or responding to the Washington Navy Yard, as occurred in September of 2013, that we don't look at the different uniforms as an impediment. We look at it as we're part of a law enforcement community and we need to respond to that incident.
And so how has this all changed in the 23 years you've been there? What are some of the evolutions you have noticed or witnessed or maybe participated in?
Well, one thing the U.S. Park Police are extremely proud of is these large special events that we handle here in Washington, D.C., whether it be a large First Amendment event or whether it be a large special event such as the Concert for Valor that occurred last Veterans Day. Being a part of history, whether it's July 4th, Independence Day celebrations, or inaugurations of our President of the United States, we are a part of history, and we protect the very people that attend these and plan these. So the pride that exudes a member of the United States Park Police as a proud member of the National Park Service is extreme.
And I remember a few years ago there was some controversy over the number of people that the Park Police said attended an event, and there was a methodology for counting, and this got into all kinds of debate. Are you still counting crowds, or is that over forever? I sort of lost track of that thread.
No, and we do not count crowds. However, when we plan events, working with the coordinators and the organizers and members of the media is a very important practice and a very important partnership. Our focus is protecting the event and protecting the visitors to that. So although membership or visitation to events allows us to plan better, the exact number is irrelevant as far as officer safety, visitor safety, and those aspects.
But you know how many people are there in terms of the order of magnitude anyway.
Yes, correct. And that allows us to plan for those events, the expectation or the forecasting of the number of visitors that we anticipate. And as we go through an event in real time, assessing the magnitude of the visitation to plan for a next similar event.
And and just switching topics here, that horse stable that is on Rock Creek Parkway, that's part of yours too, right?
Yes, it is.
So tell us about the horse component, because that's something not a lot of police departments have. Oh, I think New York City still has a mounted component.
Yes, we're proud of our entire organization, and we have numerous specialized units, whether it be aviation or motorcycles or horse-mounted. Horse-mounted is a great tool that we use for the high-visibility patrol. As you walk on the National Mall, whereas you may not see an officer walking on the ground, an officer on horseback offers that immediate identification and interaction with the public. But also a probably more important aspect for us is managing the large crowds that we have, whether it be at big events such as July 4th, or whether it be potentially a contentious situation where two groups of opposing views are potentially getting violent. So the use of those horses is dual in that respect, and very proud of that unit as well.
We're speaking with Robert McLean. He is the new chief of the U.S. Park Police. And just a quick question, if a horse is working in a crowd with somebody on top, if the horse needs to kind of drop a meadow muffin, who cleans that up?
Our officers are equipped to take care of that, and we've encountered that infrequently, but every so often about complaints of that exact topic, and we are very much aware of the potential for complaints on that. So our officers are well aware of how to deal with that.
Well, I've seen it a few times on the trails, and I never minded because I knew it was all for a good cause. And as long as it's a horse and not a dog, it's really not so bad, even if you step in it. All right, so let me ask you this. More seriously, in recent weeks and months, police forces throughout the country have come under a lot of scrutiny and pressure and some tough interactions with the public. Have you seen that, and how are you dealing with that atmosphere that is not all that positive in some of the big cities?
Well, we have a proud history of handling the First Amendment activities, especially in Washington, D.C., and what we've seen since these tragic events in other jurisdictions is very peaceful assemblies of community members and individuals coming to our parks. Again, that history of dealing with such situations over the decades and over the centuries has allowed us to develop tactics and strategies for handling First Amendment demonstrations, whether they be contentious or not. So allowing that First Amendment activity to occur without disruption and protecting that freedom of speech, that freedom of assembly, as opposed to identifying potential violations associated with it is kind of our strategy, how we deal with these groups and have a great relationship with some of the recurring First Amendment groups that attend events in our areas as well as the impromptu ones.
And how about relations with the rank and file? I think there's been a little bit of grumbling here and there among some of the units of officers with respect to management. What do you plan to do to keep those things going smoothly?
Well, the most important thing in any organization is communication, communication, communication. So setting positive expectations and setting a clear path of where this organization is going is the first. And to engage those employees in the running of this organization. So innovation starts from the ground up and listening to what those officers on the street, they really do the great work every single day. 24/7, 365 is how any organization needs to succeed, is to listen to your employees, communicate effectively and openly, and not be afraid to say, we may have gone down the wrong path at some point. Let's get this right.
And just getting back to the idea of, we talked about horses earlier, and as the atmosphere has changed in terms of the cities, especially Washington, New York, and so on, needing to have that anti-terrorism component, hopefully it doesn't come into play, but it might, and there are drills that are run. What are some of the newer areas of equipage that the Park Police has that it might not have had, say, 20, 25 years ago? You mentioned air assets.
Yes, and the modernization of law enforcement is a very interesting and relevant topic these days. So the threat back when I came on over 20 years ago was focused on localized crimes in the park. And now we focus on international and domestic terrorism. Recently, the targeting of law enforcement more so than it's ever been. So it is very important that we equip our officers with strategies in equipment, tools, and training to combat that. And intelligence-led policing is so important in forecasting and predicting what the threats will be and what our officers need to do that job. In addition to the normal equipment that they have, less lethal type defensive equipment, whether it be OC spray, electronic control devices, that type of equipment that allows them to combat that threat.
Okay, and so anything else you need to tell us about? What I wanted to ask you also is, as the chief, do you ever get a chance to just go on the beat yourself and see things at the ground level anymore?
And unfortunately, I don't get to as often as I would like to. But yes, the example, when September 11th anniversary hit last year, myself and the other command staff went out to all of our footbeats on the National Mall to meet with our folks and to tell them how much we appreciate what they do and the vigilance that they must maintain at all times during a shift is more than I ever had to do as a patrol officer. So that, in addition to getting to the roll calls at the stations to allow that interface and access to senior management for me and for them to interact and communicate to the point where in real time I'm finding out what's going on the street and they're getting to ask me questions about how the agency is being run and what we're doing to better the agency.
Robert McLean is the new chief of the U.S. Park Police. I want to thank you for joining us. And as Sergeant Esterhaus used to say, be careful out there.
Absolutely. Thank you.